Blog Talk Radio.
Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and we're going to be talking about King Josiah today, who is a baby king. I call him a baby king. He was 8 years old when he took over the kingdom of Israel. So we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 through Ezra chapter 2. So 2 Chronicles chapter 34 through Ezra chapter 2. We'll also be in the book of our psalm is where our actual title is coming from today. For you, O Lord, I lift up my soul is our title for this morning. And we'll be coming out of the 86th psalm, verses 1 through 10. Our proverb this morning will be from Proverbs 21, verses 13 through 16, and will be in the 21st book of Acts, chapter 21 of Acts, verses 1 through 40. So we got a lot of word this morning, so let's get started with our prayer. All my desire, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Colossians 3, chapter 2, NLT. Infinite Father God, when my eyes are focused on the pebbles in my shoes, it is easy to lose sight of the bigger picture of life. You see the challenges coming head on. Oh, how easily I get sidetracked by them. Lord, in heartbreak, confusion, and pain, I find that my thoughts hover close to the earth, close to the wounds that have not healed. I know there is grace for these seasons. Kingdom feels far off, and it's hard to imagine what the things of heaven are. I will look to your word. Surely I will find all I'm looking for in your life. Jesus, I am grateful that you taught us to pray on earth as it is in heaven, not in heaven where we escape earth. Your kingdom come, Lord, to my life and my thoughts as it already is in heaven. This is a divine mystery, your eternal presence dwelling in a temporal place. Even so, Lord, come. And the question for today, as we get ready to get into our word this morning, family, is this: what heavenly values do you think most about? not what's on the earth, but what are heavenly values do you think about? We got to give all to God and know that all things are going to work for our good because we're trusting in him. Praise the Lord this morning. Let's praise the Lord this morning. And you know we got our little book today because we're going into another book. So we will be talking about Josiah. We'll talk about Ezra. And then Ezra was another awesome prophet that does not get all the attention he deserves, but we're going to give him some today. And when we get talking about Josiah, again, someone we talked about in the Book of Kings, you know, he, again, like his grandfather, lost his way for a minute. But overall, Josiah was a great king. He was that little child that led Israel back to God. 8 years old. And, you know, when a little child speaks to you, don't get offended. Because God can use a child. God used Samuel, did he not, to prophesy to Eli. God would use a child to get Israel back on track, which is what he did with this little king. So let's get into our word. I pray everyone is with me again. We are in 2 Chronicles, chapter 34 through chapter 30, through Ezra chapter 2. So let's get started. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. But in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down, and the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images in the powder, cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, and the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites who kept the doors had gathered from the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, from all the remnant of Israel, from all Judah and Benjamin, and which they had brought back to Jerusalem. Then they put it in the hand of the foreman, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. They gave it to the craftsmen, the builders, to buy home stone and timber for beams and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. Their overseers were Jehiel and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of Korahites, to supervise others of the Levites, all of whom were skillful with instruments of music. were over the burden bearers and were overseers of all who did the work in any kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. Now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word saying, all that was committed to your servants, they are doing, and they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Can you think about this? You've been years without the book of the law. Folks doing all kind of idolatry and anything and everything you can imagine. In the house of God. Excuse me. And then, I'm about to get up and shout up in there. And then you find the book, this book, the book of the law, the book that gives you everything you need to do to follow God. You find the book. You can imagine the excitement of the priest. You can imagine the excitement of everybody because it's something I'm sure that had been lost and it was now found. Then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. So Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tekoa, the son of Harash, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her to that effect. Again, I'm not trying to start some stuff, but who did God send them to? A woman, that's all I'm got to say. Nothing more, but he sent him to a woman. Sent him to his prophetess. Did he send it to the prophet? No, he sent it to a prophetess. Because God wanted that word to get out, and he used a woman. Come on now, I'm just saying. Y'all said, Pastor Bridget, stop trying to start stuff. Okay, I'm gonna stop trying to start stuff. But just had to say that. Then she answered them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burnt incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him, says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against the inhabitants. You humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants. So they brought back word to the king. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place, made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the countries that belonged to the children of Israel. All who were present in Israel diligently served the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. He had a Joshua moment. All his days they did not go to the left. They didn't go to the right. They followed God. For the word that God gave us for this morning is for you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. This young man lifted up his soul to God. He gave himself 100 to the Lord and said, okay, come on, folks. This is a family. We're going to all do this thing. We're going to diligently seek the Lord. And they did. They, under his watch, they diligently served the Lord. What did he say in his words? It says in verse 31, then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And are we following the words written in this book, or do we do us? We can't do us any longer. We got to do Jesus. And it goes on to tell us, now Josiah kept chapter 35. Now Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. And they slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their duty and encouraged them for the service of the house of the Lord. Then he said to the Levites, who taught all Israel, who were holy to the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, built. It shall no longer be a burden on your shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people, Israel. Prepare yourselves according to your father's houses, according to your division, following the written instruction of David, king of Israel, and the written instruction of Solomon, his son, and stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the father's houses of your brothers, the lay people, and according to the divisions of the father's house of the Levites. So slaughter the Passover offering, consecrate yourself, and prepare them for your brothers, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Then Josiah gave the lay people lambs and young goats from the flock, all for Passover offerings for all who were present, to the number of 30,000, as well as 3,000 cattle. There were from the king's possession, and his leaders gave willingly to the people, to the priests, and to the Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jael, rulers of the house of God, gave to the priests for the Passover offering 2,600 from the flock and 300 cattle. Also, Cornaniah, his brothers, Shemaiah, and Nethanel, and Hashabiah, and Jael, and Jozabad, chief of the Levites, gave to the Levites from Passover offering 5,000 from the flock and 500 cattle. They was eating good. and they would sacrifice it and give it to God, what belonged to God. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their places, and the Levites in their division, according to the king's command. And they slaughtered the Passover offerings, and the blood priests sprinkled the blood with their hands, while the Levites skinned the animals. Then they removed the burnt offerings that they might give them to the divisions of the fathers' houses of the lay people, to offer to the Lord as it is written in the book of Moses. And so they did with the cattle. Also they roasted the Passover offerings with fire according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings they boiled in pots and cauldrons and pans and divided them quickly among all the lay people. Then afterwards they prepared portions for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busy in offering burnt offerings and fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared portions for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron, and singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their places according to the command of David. Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer. Also the gatekeepers were at each gate. They did not have to leave their position because their brethren, the Levites, prepared portions for them. Now that's family. You know, nobody got to leave their post because everybody is doing their part. You know, the ushers are bringing the food. Everybody has got an assignment and they're doing it. That's how God wants us to work, to do what you are assigned to do, and to do it well, and to help others when you can. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings of the Lord according to the command of King Josiah. Excuse me. And the children of Israel who were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. There had been no Passover kept in Israel like that since the days of Samuel the prophet. Can you think about that? That's hundreds of years. That's several hundred years, I'm sure. And it says, and none of the kings of Israel had kept such a Passover as Josiah kept with the priests and the Levites. All Judah and Israel who were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah, this Passover was kept. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Shemesh by the Euphrates. And Josiah went out against them. But he sent a message, he sent messengers to him saying, what have I to do with you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day, but against the house with which I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Refrain from meddling with God who is with me, lest he destroy you. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself so that he might fight with him, and did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. So he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. Archers shot King Josiah, and the king said to his servant, take me away, for I am severely wounded. His servant therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem. So he died and was buried in one of the tombs of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Jeremiah also lamented for Josiah. And to this day, all the singing men and the singing women speak of Josiah in their lamentations. They made it a custom in Israel, and indeed they are written in the Lamentations. Now, the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness according to what was written in the law of the Lord and his deeds from first to last, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. 31 years. So he was 8 years old, so he was 39 years old when he died, 39 years old. But he followed God. He followed after God. He chose God. He asked God. He gave his soul. For you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. He gave it away to the Lord. Are we giving ourselves away to God today? And just to go back over our word for this morning, we're going to get into chapter 36 shortly. But in chapter 34, it says, Josiah committed to following the Lord. Josiah became king of Judah when he was just 8 years old, after the murder of his idolatrous father, Amon, having no living example, no parental instruction in the ways of God. He walked in the ways of his forefather, the great King David. Josiah committed himself to following the Lord, keeping all his mandates and decrees. When he renewed the covenant of his forefathers, all the people with him pledged themselves to the Lord as well. Josiah's extensive reforms throughout Judah and Samaria make him stand out as one of Judah's most faithful kings. When you make the Lord and his word the focus of your life, he will help you just as he did Josiah. Keep your heart tender and humble yourself before the Lord. He will establish you, and by him you will become mighty for God. Hallelujah. We got to have a Josiah spirit, giving ourselves away for the Lord to use it. And as we go back into the word, it says in 2 Chronicles, chapter 35, verse 3, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, built in the dark days of Manasseh's reign. Levites, faithful to the Lord, apparently took the ark from the temple and carried it elsewhere for safekeeping. We need those who will risk their lives for the name of Christ. And understand, we know that the ark has disappeared. The ark disappeared when the Babylonians came in and they were exiled. Because, you know, they say that the ark is in Ethiopia. And, you know, we don't know if it is or isn't, but we know that it is hidden. And there are those out there looking for it, you know, not because it's holy to them, but because it's an artifact. And they want the artifact. That's not of God. We got to be careful of God's possessions. And I'm going to tell you, there's things that's going to come back. God is preparing us right now to get ready because Jesus is coming. And the question is, will you be one of the brides which are all ready to go, or will you be lost and left behind? I don't want to be left behind. I want to be early at the door. Hallelujah. I want to be early at the door. The days of lateness have got to stop. We got to be on time. And as we go back into our word in chapter 35, verse 22, Josiah did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. This skirmish had nothing to do with Josiah and the kingdom of Judah. Necho's war was with the Assyrians. However, it has been speculated that because Judah had become a vassal state of Assyria, Josiah opposed Necho for political reasons. Even godly people make terrible mistakes when they don't seek God's direction. Come on now. We got to seek God's direction. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him. Go to God before you go to man. Hallelujah. And God will show you what man to go to. And God said, don't go here, don't go over there. But he did anyway. But the one thing he still, that did not take away him being a great king. Chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles. Then the people of the land took Jehoaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's place in Jerusalem. Jehoaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Y'all caught that right. Now the king of Egypt disposed him at Jerusalem, and he imposed on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Then the king of Egypt made Jehoiakim, brother Eliakim, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoaz, his brother, and carried him off to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And here we go again. Went forward 31 years, and now we're getting ready to go backwards. Forward 31 years, backwards. And then note one thing. Elohim was the name of the king. And what did they do? As soon as they imposed slavery, changed the name. How many of us don't know who we are because our names were changed to protect the guilty? But in Jehoiakim was 25 years old, saying it again, when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against him and bound him in bronze, that is to carry him off to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried off some of the articles from the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, the abominations which he did and what was found against him, indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Then Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his place. Jehoiakim was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months and 10 days, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you're like, wait a minute, come back here, Pastor Bridget. He's 8 years old. What's an eight-year-old? But we thought Josiah was eight. Then we missed this little bitty piece when we're reading, because we read the Word of God, and we go and we grab those things that everybody knows the story of. But this little eight-year-old, we forget about him. But understand, this kid did not understand anything. He was a child, and he didn't have a good example. He didn't have someone pouring into him. He didn't look back over the kings of Judah, over the Davids and the Solomons. He didn't go back to his grandfather, Josiah. Instead, he's looking at his dad, and he's saying, oh, 8 years old, but I got to go back and start verse 9 one more time, because it just hits your spirit. Jehoiakim was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, think that through, and 10 days. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Turn of the year, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned him and took him to Babylon with the costly articles from the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah was 21 years old. All these youngsters are becoming kings, children, basically. And he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did also evil in the sight of the Lord, his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the elders of the priests, the people, transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations and defiled the house of the Lord, which he has consecrated in Jerusalem. Now, all that work for them 31 years that Josiah did, in just a few years, it was all made to know. Folks that had pledged themselves to God had forgot the God of Israel and were doing them. We cannot forget God. And it goes on to tell us he had compassion. And the God of his fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his word, scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young men or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hands and all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the words of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Good king, all that evil. 70 years of captivity. False prophets and proper liars all through, yes. But Jeremiah's word came true. 70 years they were in captivity. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me. And he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. God will bring restoration. What the canker worm destroys, God will restore. And it says in 2 Chronicles 36:16, the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, that there was no remedy. God issued severe warning against disobedience, not out of anger, but out of compassion. He does not willingly afflict us, but he will do so when we leave him no other option. When a culture or a person comes to despise God's word and habitually mocks and scoffs at his messengers, judgment cannot be far away. Death is imminent for terminally ill patients who reject the only doctor who can help. We got to get out of that "I'm mad at God" business. Mm-hmm. Because then we wonder why things are not going the way we want them to, because you're not trusting in the one that can get you where you need to go. You're lost because you don't want to use the GPS. And the GPS is God's planning system. God's planning system will take you where you need to go. All you got to do is trust in God. Mm-hmm. Trust in God to say, I need you to go right, or I need you to go left, or I need you to go straight. God's GPS, God's planning system will get you where you need to go. Not man, but God. And it says in a Chronicle, 2 Chronicles 36:23, he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. A pagan king carried Israel into exile, and a pagan king sent them back. Our sovereign God allows the dark moments of our lives to last only so long as it takes for him to accomplish his purpose in us. It's time to get up and go to work. It's time to go home. God wants us to do what he calls us to do, not what Sister Susie said, not what brother down the street said, not what the boo-boo in them, but what did God say? That's what we got to go with. What did God say? What did God tell you to do? What did God tell you to do? And as we go into our new book, my little book, Know Your Bible, tells us in Ezra, and it says the author, not stated, but traditionally attributed to Ezra the priest. It was dated approximately 530 B.C. to the mid-400s B.C., so at least about 400 to 500 years before Jesus. And it says in 10 words or less, spiritual renewal begins after the Jews return from exile. And the details, please. About a half century after Babylonians sacked Jerusalem and carried Jews into captivity, Persia is the new world power, King Cyrus allows a group of exiles to return to Judah to rebuild the temple. Some 42,000 people return and resettle the land. About 70 years later, Ezra is part of a smaller group that also returns the law to the people who have fallen away from God to the point of intermarrying with nearby pagan nations, something that they were strictly forbidden by Moses in Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7. Quotable, Ezra has prepared his heart to speak the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Unique and unusual about Ezra, though God has said, I hate divorce, Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, NIV, Ezra urged Jewish men to separate from their foreign wives. So what? In Ezra, God shows his willingness to offer a second chance, allowing a nation that had been punished for disobedience to have a fresh start. Guess what? He's still in the second chance business. Can y'all say amen with me?
Yeah.
Whew! He's still in the second chance business. And as we go back to our proverb, our psalm this morning, our title, "For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." Ezra knew who he was. Cyrus, a pagan, lifted up to God, listened to God. And it says this in the word of God in Ezra chapter 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is among you of all his people. May his God be with you, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God in Jerusalem. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all whose spirit God had moved, arose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all those who were around them encouraged them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with precious things besides all that was willingly offered. King Cyrus also brought out the articles of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem and put in the temple of his God. And Cyrus, king of Persia, brought them out by the hand of Metheredeth, the treasurer, and counted them out to Shethbazar, the prince of Judah. This is the number of them: 30 gold platters, 1,000 silver platters, 29 knives, 30 gold basins, 410 silver basins of a similar kind, 1,000 other articles. All the articles of gold and silver were 5,400. All these Shethbazar took with the captives who were brought from Babylon to Jerusalem. Chapter 2 of Ezra. Now these are the people of the province who came back from the captivity of those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had captured away to carried away to Babylon, and he returned to Jerusalem and Judah, everyone to his own city. Those who came with Zerubbabel were Joshua, Nehemiah. And we know Nehemiah is going to have his own book down the road. I'm going to read that later. Now, understand, all of these people, Nehemiah, Zariah, Reariah, Mordecai, we know Mordecai too, Belshan, Mizpah, Bigvah, Rahum, Bana, Bana, the number of the men of the people of Israel, the people of Porosh, 2,172. The people of Shephatiah, 372. The people of Era, 775. The people of Pathath, Moab. The people of Jeshai, and Joab, 2,812. The people of Elam, 1,254. The people of Zetzi, 945. The people of Zakai, 770. The people of Benai, 642. The people of Bibai, 623. The people of Asgad, 1,222. The people of Adonikam, 666. The people of Diglath, 2,056. The people of Aden, 454. The people of Atar and Hezekiah, 98. The people of Bezer, 323. The people of Jorah, 112. The people of Ashen, 223. The people of Gibber, 95. The people of Bethlehem, 123. The men of Netophah, 56. The men of Ethnot, 128. The people of Asmoth, 42. The people of Kajar, Arim, Shekherah, and Bera, 743. The people of Ramah and Sheba, 621. The men of Machmas, 122. The men of Bethel and Ai, 223. The people of Nebo, 52. The people of Megvish, 156. The people of the other Elam, 1,254. The people of Aram, 320. The people of Lod, Hagen, and Ono, 725. The people of Jericho, 345. The people of Sinai, 3,630. The priests and the sons of Jediah of the house of Jeshua, 973. The sons of Emer, 1,052. The sons of Pashah, 1,247. The sons of Hiram, 1,017. The Levites, the sons of Jeshua, and Kedmiel of the sons of Hodaviah, 74. The singers, the sons of Asaph, 128. The sons of the gatekeepers, the sons of Shalom, the sons of Etar, the sons of Talmon, the sons of Ichkub, the sons of Hittai, the sons of Shabbai, 139 in all. The Nethanians, the sons of Ziha, the sons of Hashaphah, the sons of Tabathoth, the sons of Kirov, the sons of Shia, the sons of Paden, the sons of Lebanon, the sons of Hegemah, the sons of Ichab, the sons of Hagab, the sons of Shemaiah, the sons of Hanan, the sons of Giddo, the sons of Jehar, the sons of Reiah, the sons of Razan, the sons of Nikoda, the sons of Gezam, the sons of Uzzah, the sons of Bisha, the sons of Bishai, the sons of Ethna, the sons of Menanim, the sons of Nesbathim, the sons of Bekbuk, the sons of Hakapha, the sons of Har, the sons of Bazlath, the sons of Mahida, the sons of Harsha, the sons of Barkos, the sons of Sira, the sons of Tama, the sons of Nizah, the sons of Hatapha, the sons of Solomon's servant, Tokai, the sons of Sophorah, the sons of Tirida, the sons of Jala, the sons of Darkon, the sons of Gito, the sons of Shephatiah, the sons of Hito, the sons of Paskovith, Zebayim, the sons of Ami, all the nephews, the children of Solomon's servant, were 392. And the names are, whew, and these were the ones who came up from Tel-Melah, Tel-Arsha, Sherub, Aden, and Emma, but they could not identify their father's house or their genealogy, whether they were of Israel, the sons of Deliah, the sons of Tobiah, the sons of Nakoda, 652, and the sons of the priests, the sons of Habaiah, the sons of Kaz, the sons of Barzillai, who took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai, of the Gileadites, and was called by their names. These sought their listing among those who were registered by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore, they were excluded from the priesthood as defiled. And the governor said to them that they should not eat of the most holy things until the priest could consult with Urim and Thummim. The whole assembly together were 42,360, besides the male and female servants, of whom there were 7,337, and they had 200 men and women singers. Their horses were 736. Their mules were 245. Their camels 435. And their donkeys 6,720. Some of the heads of the fathers' houses, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to erect it in its place. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury for the work 61,000 gold decumens, 5,000 minutes of silver, and 100 priestly garments. So the priests and the Levites, some of the people, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the netherites dwelt in their cities and all Israel in their cities. And that is Ezra. I want to go back and get a couple of life lessons and a life example. And it says in Ezra 1:1, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, just as the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus to act on behalf of his people, so can he act in the hearts of those in authority over you. For your benefit, he is sovereign, and he acts in response to prayer. Can you say it with me? He acts in response to prayer. Mighty men, and it says Cyrus, an instrument of God, mighty men and ruthless conquerors may come and go, imposing their will on those in their path. But the Bible reminds us that the will of only one ruler ultimately matters. While the decree of the Persian king Cyrus sent Ezra back to Jerusalem, Scripture makes it clear that he did only what God prompted him to do. The Bible says the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, to issue his proclamation that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Second Chronicles 36:22 and Ezra 1:1. Exactly this had been prophesied more than a century before by the prophet Isaiah, who called Cyrus God's anointed and shepherd, and said the king would do everything the Lord had called him to do, even though God had said to Cyrus, "You have not known me." Isaiah chapter 44 and 45. God rules, and he uses whomever he chooses. Can you all say, God rules, and he uses whomever he chooses? We know God can even use a donkey, so we cannot even act like we don't know what God can do. God can do all things with faith. Ezra 1:5, all whose spirit God had moved arose to go up and build the house of the Lord. God not only moves the spirit of unbelievers such as Cyrus to act in certain ways, but he also moves the spirit of his people to particular actions. To walk in the Spirit is to obey the initial prompting of the Spirit. We got to trust God. It's time to go to work. In Ezra chapter 2, verse 69, according to their ability, they gave to the treasury for the work. God asked us to give according to our ability, not according to what we do not have. Come on now. And he loves to bless what we willingly offer to him. The Bible counsels us to give not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. Yet understand, God will never be a debtor to anyone. You can never outgive God. Come on now. We can never outgive God. No matter how much you try, you can't outgive God. I've watched him work in my own life, so I know God can and God will. And as we finish up, get back into our psalm this morning, which is where our title is coming from. Please join me in the 86th psalm. And again, for those that are just joining us this morning, this is, we will be going until 8:30 today because there will not be a blog on tomorrow. There will not be a blog on tomorrow because I will be traveling in the morning. And so I will be leaving early before the show. So we will not be blogging in the morning, but I will be back on Friday with our normal Friday Old Testament word. And then we'll be back on Sunday for our normal weekly New Testament word with Psalm and Proverbs. So today we're doing 2 days of work, 2 days of word, so that we are prepared for the weekend, getting ready for Friday. And I just ask your prayers on the people of Kentucky, because there is flooding going on down there, which is why we are leaving early in the morning to make it before dark to get back. So please keep us in prayer as well as we get ready to travel. In our 86th psalm, it says this, a prayer of David. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant. For you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. And that's our title for this morning. Josiah lifted up his soul to God. Cyrus gave the people back to God to build his house. Even in their despair, when they lifted up their soul to God, he heard their cry. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Are you calling on the Lord today? Are you trusting in the Lord today? It says, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your work. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord. You shall glorify and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Oh, hallelujah. You alone our God. And if you go to the life lessons from this psalm, in 86 and 6 of this psalm, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Note the word prayer. Prayer changes all kind of things. If God already knows all our desires and needs, then why should we pray? One word, relationship. God wants us to open up and express ourselves to him. If God were always to fill our needs without us seeking him, we'd never be vulnerable with him. However, when we pray, we open ourselves to receive his love, power, wisdom, and provision. Hallelujah. Prayer changes all kind of things, man. I've watched God work. I've seen him work. I'm an example of his work. Many of you know I could barely talk a week ago. I could barely breathe a week ago. Cough up all over the place a week ago. But God, don't tell me what prayer can't do. God will send who needs to be sent. I'm grateful for a daughter that knows the word of God as well as medicine. God used her, and I'm thankful that God used her to help me, give me the right medicine, but also who prayed with me and for me. Prayer changes things. Yes, the medicine is good, but it's not the medicine. The medicine is God. And we got to understand it's prayer. Prayer changes things. Trust God. And when you go to the doctor, ask God, Lord, send me to a doctor that believes. Send me to a doctor that knows who you are. Send me to a doctor that's not somebody into idolatry and everything else, but send me to a doctor who knows the name of Jesus. We got to ask for who we need. Don't go to just any old body putting their hands on you. You got to go to someone who knows the Lord. 86 Psalm verse 7, I will call upon you, but you will answer me. It takes faith to pray. That's probably why sometimes it's so hard to get on our knees before God. We wonder, what good will it do? However, we are assured that God hears us and provides for our needs when we seek him. Therefore, don't look for other ways to solve your problems, rather call upon him with full assurance that he will help you. Hallelujah. I'm believing God for some miracles in my family. I'm believing God for some miracles in the lives of my children. I'm believing God for all things to work for good. I'm believing God that he will show who my God is, the God I work for, the God I trust, the God I love, my best friend. I want my children to get to know him up close and personal. And I'm not telling problems. I'm telling my problems about my God. And I'm telling my God that I trust him. And I know that he can and he will make things better for my sons and my daughters. I know him, their grandchildren, my family, my mother, my sister, my brother, my nieces, nephews, and the greats. I know God can and God will do more than we could ever ask or think. All we got to do is pray and believe. I'm praying for my oldest child to get a better job and that he has faith that God will bring him through and that God will bring it to him and give it to him, because he has gone through so much that he has gotten away. And I'm praying daily for my salvation of my children. So I get filled up when I think about it. Prayer changes things. A praying mama, praying grandmama. We got to learn how to pray for our kids. We got to learn how to pray for those that may be slightly lost but know the Lord. We got to pray. More prayer, more power is what my pastor said. And I know it's a fact. More prayer, more power. We got to have some me time with God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Proverbs 21, verses 13 through 16. Whoever shuts his eyes, cry of the poor, will also cry himself and not be heard. You got folks that got all kind of money, but will talk about people being poor, where they don't deserve this and they don't deserve that. And why should we help? Excuse me. Who are we to talk about somebody not having when there by the grace of God goes all? Been there, done that. Hey, come on now. You know, folks want to look at you now, But they don't know back in the day when you used to make spaghetti out of tomato soup and put a few rich crackers on top and call it a casserole. Come on now. You know, they don't know when you used to take that chicken, cut it up as much as you could, add some noodles and some cream of chicken soup and some mushroom soup and call it a casserole. Come on. You know, folks don't know where you come from. They just look at you now. They don't know that you have been there, that you have been in their shoes, wondering how you're going to pay your rent, wondering where your money spent, as the song says. You know, we got to understand, baby need a new pair of shoes. Folks don't know where you've been, that you had to go to the Goodwill, that you had to do the things that you had to do because you were stretching your money, because you knew that you had to pay that rent. Come on now. Folks get all caught up that they think that they have arrived, that they forget where they come from, and so want to look at the poor. And then there are those that have been rich all their life who don't know what lack is. But, hey, we understand recessions happen. We understand depressions happen. And instead of turning to God, they turn to alcohol. They turn to suicide because they don't know how to live because they never not had. We better understand when you don't have, you learn how to appreciate when you do. We got to learn how to appreciate our heads down, prayerful, thanking God, and helping those. If you give a hand down, you can lift a leg up. Come on now. You got to learn how to bend and help. Bend and help, because somebody bent and helped you. It's called paying it forward, and we got to learn how to do that. It says a gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bribe behind the back, strong wrath. We know bribes and all kind of stuff goes on, but we going to trust God. And it says, and the rest it goes, it is joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. We wonder why things are going on now, because workers of iniquity are being pulled into justice, and there will always be those that will go toward the wicked instead of those that are righteous. We know this. We have seen it. We are watching it happen every day. Folks would choose wrong over right and claim to love God. Come on, we see it. And we got to pray for it, against that. We got to pray for those who don't seek the Lord but seek man. Man is man. There's only one God. And we got to long for it. We got to say, for you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My soul does not belong to anybody but God. It says, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. We got to stick with God. Don't go off the road. Stay on it. Stay on the straight. Stay on the narrow. Stay on God's GPS, which is God's plan and system. We got to learn how to stay on it. God's already got a plan for your life. He's already got, he is your GPS. Don't worry about what the global system thinks. What does God say? What position has God placed you in? I didn't mean to preach this morning, but when the word of God preaches itself, all you got to do is read it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, this morning for this mighty word of God. I'm just filled up because I think about how good God is. I think about how he has brought us so far. I just am grateful because I know where I come from, and I will never forget what God brought me through and where God brought me from. Hallelujah. We got to thank God every day for you. Oh, Lord, I lift up my soul. Should be our prayer every day for you. It's not about me, God. It's all about you. Hallelujah. This word is touching my heart this morning. This little 8-year-old, 2 8-year-olds, we forget it was 2 of them. One chose God. One didn't know God. And it takes us as parents to teach our children who God is, who he is, and that he loves them and that he wants the best for them. We've got to go to work in prayer. Prayer will change the course and trajectory of this nation. Children should not be killing children. I'm watching the news last night, and there's this group of kids that attacked another kid. A whole slew of them attacked one child, chased this baby down, beat him till his teeth almost fell out. Why? Don't know. Just cause. We've got to go to work. Prayer will change who these babies are. We've got to go to work. School is about to start. We can't wait. We need our children in church. So we need to go to work to get them there. Children should not be killing each other. I got filled up. And as we go into the book of Acts, we're in Acts chapter 21. It says, now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Chios, the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara, and finding a ship going over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed in Tyre. But there the ship was to unload our cargo, and finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. When he had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. There's that word, prayer, changes things. They prayed, and we had taken our leave of one another. We boarded the ship, and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we packed and went up to Jerusalem. Also, some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them a certain Nathan of Cyprus, the early disciple with whom we were to lodge. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. And they said to him, you see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs What then? The assembly must certainly meet, but they will hear that you have come. Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, and from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. And we read that earlier. James had given this edit way back when. And it says, then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them. Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place, for they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with whom in the city whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, away with him. Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, may I speak to you? He replied, can you speak Greek? Are you not the Egyptian who came time ago, stirred up a rebellion, and led the 4,000 assassins out into the wilderness? But Paul said, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I implore you, permit me to speak to the people. So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was great silence, he spoke to them in Hebrew language, saying, and we will find out what he said on Sunday. What a word this morning. And I just have a couple of life lessons to go over from this word today. In Acts chapter 21, Paul, you know, there's always somebody trying to start now. Paul had to deal with those folks that were so religious that they didn't know God, so religious that they didn't know Jesus, didn't want to know Jesus, just wanted to start mess. We got them right now in the churches. Don't care. Just want to start mess. Want to keep folks out. Want to act up. Want to act ugly. Talk about everybody from the pastor on down to the post janitor of the church. Don't have nothing nice to say. Paul had to deal with some stuff. And all he was trying to do was teach the word to everybody, because that was his assignment as an evangelist, as an apostle, to start churches, to build the body of Christ. But there's always somebody wanting to kill, steal, and destroy. And we know who he is. He is the devil. And he was using certain Jews for that purpose, to just create confusion. And as we go into the life lesson, it says, I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Are we willing to die for Jesus? Are we willing to die for the name of the Lord? The potential loss of his life did not dissuade Paul from doing what he believed God had called him to do. He fit the mold of those described in Revelation 12:11 who do not love their lives to the death. Who did not love their lives to the death. In Acts chapter 21, verse 14, the will of the Lord be done. Paul could not be talked out of his dangerous plan because he was convinced it was God's plan. Paul's friends had to end up where Jesus did in the garden. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. That's what we pray to God every day. Not my will, God, but yours be done. And in Acts chapter 21, verse 32, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Even before Paul's conversion, Jesus told Ananias, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul did not like beatings, but he accepted them and rejoiced in his identification with Christ. What a word this morning. If there's anybody that has a word that God has given you, please push that one on your phone. Call 213-943-3597 and let the yours use you. And this is a word from our sister in Christ right on time this morning. Come on now. Defeat the enemy and choose to be happy. Amen. Don't let him steal your joy. Give God praise despite what is going on with you or around you. Honor God first and everything else will fall into place. Sister Carolyn is on point this morning. My sister in Christ is on point. I got to read it again. It's just that word that God, I know. God gave her this word. We done been to war. We done been to praise. We done been to the altar. We have been all through the house of God. We've been in exile. We've been returned. But we know that God is in charge. Who do we give our soul to? Who do we cry out to? We cry out to God. Thank you, God, for my sister in Christ. Thank you, God, for Sister Carolyn this morning. For you, oh Lord, I lift up my soul. As she said, defeat the enemy and choose to be happy. Don't let the devil take your joy. Don't let him steal your joy. Give God praise despite what is going on with or around you. Honor God first. Everything else will fall into place. Have a warfare Wednesday, family. It's time to go to war. We fight for God. Whose side are you on today? I'm on the Lord's side, but I know that my battle is not mine, but his, and that he fights for me, and he fights with me. He fights in front of me. He fights beside me. He fights behind me. He got me covered. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I thank God for his mighty word this morning. And I pray that he adds a blessing to this and the readers of this word today. Family, keep us in prayer as we travel the highways and the byways on our way back from vacation. I thank God for your prayers. I thank God for all of you. And I just say, whatever God is giving you to do, just do it. And remember, it's for him. We lift up our souls. Rejoice the soul of your servant. For you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. thank God for all of you. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, knowing that God's got you covered from your coming in to your going out. You are sons and daughters of the Most High, and he loves you more than words can express. Have a blessed day. Come join me again on Friday. Again, no show tomorrow. I will be traveling, and please keep me prayed up with traveling grace and mercy for all those traveling the highways and byways. I pray for you as you pray for me, because I love you. I need you to survive, and we all need our Father who is in heaven, and it is his will that shall be done in all things. Be blessed, family. What do we say? It's a wrap. And why is it a wrap? Because we're always willing, ready, available, presently praying for each and every one of you, because prayer changes all kind of things. Be prayed up, be covered, and understand, on this warfare Wednesday, we got our armor on, because we're ready to go to battle for the souls of our family and the souls of our brothers and sisters. By the Bible, believe in Bible teaching church, and go to Bible study, go to prayer meetings, get into the house of God, and watch God work in your life. Pray for our children. Pray for their safety. Pray for their souls. And pray for each other. Because prayer changes all kind of things. Have a blessed day, family. And remember, for you, oh Lord, I lift up my soul. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. May the Lord watch again between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray for you. You pray for me. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.